Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its results for the first quarter of 2013. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/IR. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the duration of the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us, we have Mr. Eugenio Dezoguetis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Mr. Gabriel Rosenberg, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Director. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Eugenio Dezoguetis. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for attending our conference call relating to the first quarter of 2013. We opened in this quarter, we ended the quarter with a total of 895 stores in operation. We opened 36 stores in the quarter, and this is a record for our first quarter. We achieved gross revenues of 1.4 billion, with 11.8% of total store growth and 5.2% of same store sales growth over next year. And this happened over an unfavorable calendar that jeopardized our numbers by our growth of 2.1% versus the first quarter of last year. Our gross margin reached 26.6%, a 1.2 percentage point margin expansion. Our EBITDA reached 66.2 million, an increase of 8% over the previous year, and represented 4.6% of adjusted EBITDA margin, a 0.2 percentage point margin decrease over the previous year. Finally, we booked net income of 26.5 million, a net margin of 1.8%. It's important to highlight that every year, the first quarter is the weakest quarter in the year, as we have unfavorable seasonality. Not only January is a vacation month in Brazil, but also February is a short month with Carnival. And on top of that, this year we had Easter falling on March, and also we're comparing versus a quarter last year that had a leap year effect. So all in all, it's always the weakest quarter in sales, but in this year it's even weaker because of the 2.1% adverse calendar effect. On page 4, talking about our store growth, we opened 36 stores in the quarter and closed 4 stores. Two of these 4 stores closed were in Goiânia, where we opened many stores acquired. They had been acquired last year, and we opened now. So for 2 of those stores, we moved location from the older to the new ones, to the new store. We also suspended 1 store, which means this is a store that is temporarily closed for renovation to be opened under a different brand. In this quarter, we recorded the greenest store portfolio since the second quarter of 2011, with 36.6% of stores still undergoing maturation and only 62.4% mature stores. So as we have a greener portfolio, we need more expense pressure from the open stores, as well as more future maturation potential coming forward. On page 5, we opened this year 36 stores, but only 9 stores last year. So our opening pace is growing much faster than last year. And in addition to opening 36 stores in the quarter, it's important to highlight that we have opened 65 stores over the last 4 months and 78 stores over the last 6 months. I think that's quite a number. We already have, as of today, 906 stores in operation, 47 openings in the year already, and we have contracts that guarantee a total of 106 stores so far. And as we are still in early May, I would say that we are absolutely on track to meet the guide, the initial guidance of 100 stores for this year. The challenge for us is not opening on day four. The challenge for us this year is to getting able to source the same kind of pipeline to start next year that we enjoyed in the beginning of this year. But if we do that, we will show as more opening days next year, just as we're doing this year, as opposed to a big store concentration at the end of the year. And that's what happens when we start with a weak portfolio. So we are working not only for the 130 stores, but also to build a strong pipeline for next year as well. On page six, in terms of our geographic presence, I'd like to highlight the opening of 32 stores that were acquired from Drogaria Santa Marta in the state of Goiás. 12 of those stores were opened under Drogasil, which is the leading brand in the state. So Drogasil has a very, very strong brand there, and we leverage as many stores as possible that were complementary to the current Drogasil footprint. But as we had a lot of stores, there are many stores, and they're located in regions where Drogasil is also strong, we decided to bring Raia into this market. So 11 stores opened in Goiânia, they were opened under the Raia brand. And this was one of the assumptions that allowed us to purchase these assets. I mean, if we were not willing to bring a new brand in the state, overlapping would forbid us from buying these assets. But as we have two assets, the two brands, we're bringing Droga Raia inside Goiás. It brings us a unique position in this market, and we have two brands to compete. And the initial numbers for the new stores acquired, both for Droga Rio, but also for Raia, they are very promising. So we're very happy with what we have achieved here. Our market share increased from 8.6% to 8.8% in the quarter. We're dealing here with IMS numbers, and IMS reports, well, IMS reports is not the demand, but the merchandise transfer from wholesalers to retailers. So it's very difficult to compare the figures of this quarter with the previous quarter. As prices go up in Brazil every end of March, a lot of retailers, they increase a lot of inventories before March. So and as we haven't increased as much than our inventories in advancement for the price increases, when you look at IMS, looks like we lost share from December. We use, for a short-term basis, for technical reasons, Abrafarma date. We don't publish the date, but the date we use is our market share within Abrafarma. And our market share within Abrafarma is larger now than it was in the first quarter. And the gap versus last year is about 50 basis points. So we're very comfortable in market share, and we think the IMS is a good figure to look what year versus the previous year, but not from the shorter time span. So our highlights have been Goiânia. Even though these new stores were open in the very end of the quarter, we still could see some results here. We still made a difference, so we came from 12 to 13.4% of market share there. Speed Plus is another market where we gained 50 basis points, and we reached 9.1%. Mato Grosso do Sul is a market that we operated there for less than a year, and we have already accumulated 5.4% of market share. Rio de Janeiro, we increased from 4.9 to 5.2. Santa Catarina is quite a recent market. We reached 3.7. Mato Grosso, also a market we opened last year, 3.5. We also grew in Rio Grande do Sul, and we registered 1.5% market share in Bahia, a very recent market as well. On to 7, about our revenue growth. Our total revenues have grown 11.8% in this quarter. Same store sales grew 5.2%, and mature stores grew by only 2.2% in the quarter. It's important to highlight that in this quarter, we have an adverse calendar effect when compared to last year. As I previously explained, last year was a leap year, which was one extra day of sale, and also the extra holiday fell in the quarter. So the effect is 2.1%. If we adjust for calendar, still we will have something like 14% of total revenue growth, 7% for same store sales, and 4% for mature stores, which are modest growth rates. What has to be considered here is that we are comparing versus a peak quarter, peak first quarter of 2012. In which our mature stores have grown by 11% and our sales for sales have grown by nearly 16%. So we are comparing versus an impossible quarter of last year, and it was no surprise that our comps fell significantly. Looking forward, It's important to mention that already in April and in the first week of May, our comps are getting normalized, as our comp base is also a more normal one. So we have registered in March and early May, April and early May, mature store growth something like 0.5% below inflation. So we are catching up. I believe we will be slightly behind or at inflation in the second quarter, and then we believe in the second semester, as we gain momentum and also as our comps ease up, then I think we get to the normal comps that we generally post, which are 1-2% above inflation. So the very challenging first quarter in terms of revenues, better off, but still not there in the second quarter, and then probably getting in line in the second semester of the year. On page 8, in terms of our product mix, the highlights were generics that have grown by 15% and reached 11.2 versus 10.8 of the first quarter last year. But generics have been stable over the last quarter. And also OTC. After a very long time of OTC getting down and down and down every quarter, as a portion of the super mix, the weather in the first quarter, as it was very rainy, as it was colder than usual, we have seen OTC gain market share, 30 basis points, and hygiene personal care, for the same reason, losing 40 basis points in market share. So this is like a testament to the kind of weather that we have seen in the first quarter. Talking about our gross margin, we posted a gross margin of 36.6% in the quarter, 1.2% above the same quarter last year, and that's basically due to the cost synergies achieved in the merger. If you compare this gross margin with the fourth quarter, gross margin was down by 50 basis points. Here it's important to highlight that in the fourth quarter, we had a peak of trade allowances that helped a lot. It was a very strong quarter as far as trade allowances, and this is a normal quarter in terms of trade allowances, nothing wrong, but also not the peak we saw in the fourth quarter. But what made the difference here is that we had an increase in inventory losses by 30 basis points. This was due because of the expiration of some specific product lines, and also because in December, one of our brands doesn't carry store inventories in December. So when the store inventory is done in January, we are accruing a higher inventory loss here. But this is something very specific to the quarter, and it's not something that should affect our margins coming forward. And also, we have to mention that we're still suffering from the tax regime change that we did last year. But we got great news last month, because the government of São Paulo issued a decree that will allow the government to summon specific manufacturers that have interdependent wholesalers, meaning wholesalers that belong to the same economic group, and to achieve a tax break, these manufacturers sell to the exclusive wholesaler, and the exclusive wholesaler sells to the whole market. The government can now summon those suppliers to change the point of tax collection from the manufacturer to wholesaler. This is great, because depending on which manufacturers are summoned by the government, if the manufacturer summoned are the same who are causing our loss, because our loss comes from a tax planning that aims at getting a tax rate. So we need to create the power of solving a problem. So we are now in a crucial moment, because over 100 million in retained tax credits have been already recovered. So all we are waiting now is to see what are the manufacturers summoned by the government. If we believe that if the manufacturers summoned by São Paulo are the ones generating our loss, then it's only a matter of time for the situation to normalize. In case the manufacturers that generate these loss are not summoned, then we'll probably be dropping out of this, opting out of this tax regime and getting back to the previous tax regime. And the only reason why we adopted this tax regime was to recover 100 million in older tax credits that otherwise would probably have been written off. There was no other way for us to recover those tax. So I don't think the normalization tax regime will happen this quarter. If we're lucky, it probably happens in the third quarter, and start seeing the benefit in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, it's something left for next year. But still, getting out of this mess is something that is very welcome. Talking about cash cycle, I think this was a good quarter in terms of cash cycle. It has maintained the same cash cycle of the first quarter last year. There's always an unfavorable seasonality in terms of cash cycle that makes the first quarter heavier in terms of working capital. But we managed to maintain the same cash cycle of last year. I would point to a very steep reduction in inventories. Our inventories have gone down by 8 days, and this is great. But as we have stopped or reduced repurchases to drain excess inventory, what also happened is that we stopped generating supplier invoices. And as a result, temporarily, our data suppliers went down. So what we expect to happen going forward is to maintain the kind of inventory improvement that we have achieved. But then as we start replenishing at a normal pace, we will probably see the data suppliers going up and an improvement in inventory days translating in a full cash cycle improvement. So this is something we are optimistic about. Sales expenses. Our sales expenses increased by 1.5 percentage points over last year. We are carrying for the second and third quarter in a row the same level of expense increase. It's not that expenses are not disrupted. We are just carrying this kind of delta over that you were already carrying the previous two quarters. Part of these expense pressure is structural, personnel and rental, and this should be back. But then we have logistics and store openings that have more to do with timing. We opened five distribution centers in the last 2 years. We opened a very large distribution center last November, so we are suffering because of that. However, as we are not opening any new distribution either this year or next year, this figure should normalize. And finally, as we have opened 36 stores this quarter versus only 9 in the first quarter of last year, we had a huge peak in store opening pressure, 40 basis points increase over last year. And even comparing to the fourth quarter, we had 20 basis points of additional pressure as the difference stores open is gigantic. I mean, 36 stores this quarter versus 9 stores last quarter. So we maintain the same kind of expense pressure the previous quarter, but we have absorbed, compared to last quarter, 20 basis points in additional use of pressure, and we absorbed 40 basis points in calendar pressure. Because as our expenses are fixed, the fact that we're selling 2.1% below what we should be selling, we grew 2.1% less than we should have grown, correct? This means an additional expense pressure of 0.4%, because the same expenses over lower revenue base. So, for me, the quality of the numbers in this quarter is much better than the quality of the numbers in the previous quarter, even though the profitability has the same kind of gap versus the previous year. But here, we have two very structural trends that we manage, at least for them not to get further worse, and we absorb those trends in the same kind of expense increase. This slide talks about the G&A. Our G&A in reais has remained flat, and I think we have done a good job of controlling it. We achieved 10 basis points of G&A dilution, and here the G&A dilution is also affected by the calendar. With more revenues, we would have got more G&A dilution. And finally, we got an EBITDA of 4.6 versus 4.8 last year, on the back of 40 basis points in margin pressure arising from the tax situation. New stores, the negative results from new stores in this quarter were 7 million reais versus only 2.5 million reais in negative results in the first quarter of last year. I'm talking here both the initial negative numbers of the stores opened in the year and the pre-operation expenses that are already being booked by the stores that are yet to open in the year. So as we open 4 times more stores, we are spending 4.5 million more versus what we did last year. So this is a big driver of margin pressure, not for the Canada. 2.1% in revenue growth below what it should have been. The same of the Canada, again, means 2.7 million in EBITDA, that because of lower sales and lower gross profit. Talking about the depreciation, interest, and taxes on page 14, we had an increase in depreciation 30 basis points. Basically, more new stores is more CapEx, and more CapEx is more depreciation. So it's just a reflection of our investment program. We have financial expenses 40%, 0.4 percentage points above last year, because we have a lower cash position now than we had last year. But what offset the pressure was the fact that as we started booking goodwill, we accrued 0.8% of revenue in taxes in the first quarter of last year versus nothing now. So the tax shield that we got in the first quarter is likely bigger even than the taxes that were payable without it. So we basically... zero our tax burden in the quarter and allowed us to maintain a stable net margin, 1.8% in the quarter versus 1.9% last year. On page 15, we had 5.7 million lines of non-recurrent expenses. The bulk of those were integration expenses, so both consulting and legal and accounting, 2.4 million lines. This is basically closing all the when we did the integration of Raya, we had to relicense and almost reopen more than 400 higher stores. So those old legal entities that were our older stores, they are now being closed. And in order to do that, there are significant legal and accounting and consulting expenses such as that, so 2.4 million ahead. The biggest number here has been Pharmacia Popular program. When we did incorporation, all the higher stores lost the credentials to sell Farmacia Popular. And it takes a couple months for the licenses to be reobtained. So what we are doing, there are a lot of stores in which Farmacia Popular is very important, and in case we didn't serve the program, not only we would lose the revenue from the program, but also additional revenue that those customers would buy from us. So in order to maintain the consumer, as this is a short-term navigation, we subsidized the program in some of our stores. So the number in the quarter was 5.5 million reais. But if you look in March already, as the number is going down, as licenses are coming, the number was 1.2 million reais in March. So we still expect to see non-recurring expenses this second quarter of Farmacia Popular. And then I believe in the second quarter they should be either zero or get much, much lower. So we are not managing for the short term, but we are managing to create value in the middle and long term. So we believe it's better to have a stance like this and maintain our clients rather than to have to lose a client and a couple months down the road, get after those clients to get them back, and that's much more expensive. So we're doing what is best here for the business in the long term. And finally, we had a non-recurrent gain from reversion in provisions of 4.5 million reais. So the total non-recurrent expenses was 5.7 million. That provided an income tax shield of 1.9 million. So when you look at the net income, it's 3.8 million impact from non-recurrent expenses. On page 16, discussing our cash flows, we had the same level of resources from operations we generated from the first quarter last year, 53.9 million. However, as we maintained our cash cycle stable, we were able to have a neutral or slightly positive cash flow before investment versus a big negative number last year. And after investment, even though investments were bigger than last year, we still had a total cash flow of 50 million reais negative versus 165 million last year. We believe that even though we do consume cash this quarter and maybe so in the second quarter, I believe that in the second semester and when the year is over, it is probably a neutral to slight positive year in terms of cash generation. Let's see if that materializes, but it's something that we believe will happen. Finally, our share price is down 1.6% over the end of last year. That's way less than what happened to the Bovespa that went down by 8.4%. For those investors who entered in the Brazil like 5 years ago, we have 27% of average annual return. And for those invested in the IPO in the end of 2010, the average annual return has been 38%. To sum up, before opening to questions, this was a very challenging quarter because, first of all, we had to absorb a negative calendar effect of 2.1%. We had to absorb a low comp because of the huge comp peak of the first quarter of last year when mature stock had grown by 11%. So there was an impossible comp. It was quite clear all the time that we managed to beat this number. But still, we have to admit that the numbers that came in the first quarter, they were below our expectations, and I think the weather has to do that. So the sales challenge was huge in the quarter, and still, in the expense side, we also had to deal with a huge increase in expenses from new stores as we opened 36 new stores versus only 9 last year. But even with all this kind of pressure, our EBITDA margins and net margins became very similar, but just slightly below what we saw in the first quarter of last year. We had, comparing to the fourth quarter, the same kind of total expense pressure, but within that expense pressure, almost like 1.5%, we absorbed that effect of new store openings and the lower profitability because of the calendar. And on top of that, I think we are in a great track in terms of working capital management, in terms of reducing inventory, and getting ready to reduce cash cycle. So for me, the quality of the numbers here reported is much better than what we saw on the fourth quarter of last year, even though the margin loss of the previous year is quite similar. When you look to the second quarter, we are getting our mature stores getting growing very close to inflation. So the sales trend is not there where we wanted, but it's normalizing. So let's say the gap to our expectation is much smaller now than it was in the first quarter in terms of revenue growth. I believe we'll have a similar growth margin when compared to the second quarter of last year. We are maintaining a strong pace, and all in all, we believe we can have a very similar quarter in terms of profitability when compared to the second quarter of last year. So 0.2 percentage points more or less, let's say, what we saw in the second quarter of last year. But then as we reach the second semester, this is when we expect the margin expansion to take place. And then we certainly see mature stores going ahead of inflation because our comps will go further down as the year progresses. So the first quarter is easier than the second quarter, and the fourth quarter is easier than the third quarter. So we see mature stores getting back to normality, inflation plus one, inflation plus two, in the second semester of the year. We believe that the tax issue will be solved in the second semester, at some point in the second semester. Also, the expense pressure from new stores that we're seeing now, it will be a relief in the end of the year, because these stores that we're opening now, they will generate positive results by year end that will help us to absorb the pressure from the stores open at year end. Not to mention that when you compare the stores that will be open this first quarter and the last first quarter, at the very least they will be similar. So what is now a headwind will become a tailwind further down the road as the new store pressure subsides. So this is what we had, and we'd like to open for a question.
At this time, I'd like to remind anyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. And the first question is from Andrew Eiji from Andrew Eiji Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'd like to understand a little bit more about your popular brand strategy.
Well, thank you for the question. The first thing to mention is that as of now, we have a popular brand pilot and not a popular brand strategy. One of the challenges that we have as a company is that we have a very successful test format, but test format does very well in upper in regions with affluent regions and upper middle class regions. Our stores, when we enter more popular regions and we try to serve less affluent consumers, our store model generally doesn't work well because the price perception of our stores is favorable, but people think that their meat, they're more expensive, and also the cost Our stores, I mean, they're costly stores to maintain. And generally, we cannot derive the same level of revenue in popular stores than we can in the normal regions where we compete. So our growth in the next 2-3-5 years, I mean, doesn't depend much on growing into popular areas. But when you look beyond that, I think that Brazil is much bigger if you can count in the whole country versus only the affluent areas of the country. So we are running a pilot. We now have 5 stores. We probably reach 10 to 15 stores by year end with a new brand, which is PharmaVille. It's like a third brand from Brazil. This is a store that is much lighter in terms of capital investment. So it's a store where we should invest much lower capex and still achieve the same kind of return. So we are testing the concept. If and when the concept is approved, I think we have a huge opportunity ahead of us. If not, life goes on as usual. So as of now, I wouldn't advise anyone to contemplate that in their model, because it's just a fight. We need to get evidence that we can achieve in this format the revenues and margins required for our returns to be similar of that of our regular store.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We have Javier Martinez online from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Eugenio. Sorry if I'm asking something you talk about, but I'm doing a little bit late the call. When I compare the market share that you release in this first quarter versus the one you release in the fourth quarter, this is a fall that is a little bit strange to me. Maybe there was a typo in those, or there was a fall in market share in fact happening?
Javier, thank you for the question. We are using here IMS data, and IMS data, it works when you look one quarter versus the previous year, but it doesn't work well to track short-term market share changes. And why that? Because IMS does not track demand. The number that IMS compiles and reports is based on the sales from wholesalers to retailers. So they're not tracking demand. They're only tracking selling. They're only tracking inventory transfers. And the first quarter of the year is exactly a quarter in which a lot of retailers increase their purchases because of they do forward buying before the annual price increases. So we cannot compare the fourth quarter figures with the first quarter figures. What we use to understand where we are as far as market share is Abrafarma data. So every drugstore that is a member of Abrafarma is the Brazilian Drugstore Trade Association, we report monthly our demand, our revenue to Abrafarma, and I know exactly what was my market share within Abrafarma in Brazil, within Abrafarma in Sao Paulo, and I don't know state by state, but I know Sao Paulo, and then I know the six regions. And when you look just this quarter versus the fourth quarter, our market share is slightly better now than they were before. It's not a huge difference, like quite similar, but it's slightly better than the fourth quarter. And when you compare with the previous year, both in Sao Paulo and in the country, we are 50 basis points ahead of where we were last year. So IMS, we use IMS as the only data that's open state by state. But it's not a good tool to track short-term situations and share.
That's clear. Thank you. But then related with that, you have a fall in inventories year over year. Does it mean that this year you didn't want to do the arbitrage, the price arbitrage, or you are expecting lower price increase, and because of that, it's not worth it as you did last year?
Well, the price increase this year is actually higher than it was last year. But I believe we did forward buying last year as we increased our cash cycle significantly. So we already entered December with a high level of inventory. So as a result, we didn't need to further increase our inventory. Last year, managing working capital was challenging. We had a huge working capital pressure. The net cash position we have now is not the same that we had in the first quarter of last year. So both because we entered the quarter with a very high level of inventory and because we We had challenged, let's say, managing working capital. We decided not to go forward with the forward buy. But that, you know, I don't believe that will prevent us from achieving a similar level of gross margin in the second quarter when compared to that of last year.
Okay. So the just to clarify, to make sure that I understood 100%, I understand that the regulatory maximum price is good, but you do not see any reason to believe that the actual prices driven not by regulation but supply demand are going to be weaker this year or anything like that, right?
No, I believe, I mean, everybody, every player in the industry, the day the new price was published, increases the price of the food. So we are seeing the full benefit of the price increase. So what happens to the maximum consumer price is a good proxy for what happened for the real price at which our merchandise sold. So there shouldn't be a source of trouble.
Crystal clear, Eugenio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This will be the final announcement. In order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. It appears to be no further questions. Now I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Well, I would like to thank you all for attending this conference call, for the trust in the company. I believe we have a very interesting trend coming forward in terms of margin expansion. I believe we'll see the margin expansion this year. I don't think it will be huge, but I think we'll see, and I think that will get clear in the second semester of the year. And when you look forward, we open 130 stores a year. Our stores are coming very well. We're very happy with the store growth. I think we are very well positioned in an amazing market that has a lot of tailwinds from aging population, fragmentation of the market, and the consolidation process that is taking place. So we're still very positive on the trend of this company this year and especially in the future. But we cannot ignore that with a growth program like the one we manage, there is some kind of volatility from quarter to quarter depending on whether our portfolio is greener or whether our portfolio is more mature. So in order to understand where we really are, you have to read through and understand the trend in terms of maturation, the higher or lower pressure from the store, calendar effects, and things like that. So this was a very challenging quarter, but I believe it's a quarter that with all the difficulty, we are happy of where we got, and we believe we'll see a very good second semester, and we'll see overall a good year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.